A request for Triberino Gill. That was War with All Day Music. We've got your all day music right here at 90.5. You know, that's right. We also heard Sly and the Family Stone, Hot Fun in the Summertime. We have got your hot fun right here. We're going to speak with Nicole Zoraitis in just a minute, actually 44 seconds.
Support for WICN comes from the Greater Worcester Community Foundation, making more arts and creativity possible through the power of collective giving. Learn how you can help make more possible at greaterworcester.org/more.
Extra, extra, read all about it!
Are you on the list? When you subscribe to WICN's weekly email newsletter, you get the first word on everything WICN. Program updates, music news and reviews, arts and culture updates, exclusive discount and ticket offers, listener surveys, and so much more. Sign up now at WICN.org. It's just 20 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Tuesday morning. We got your music right here for you. We've also got Nicole Zoraitis right here on the phone with us. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
I'm just great. I'm so excited to be speaking with you. You, of course, are, just for the folks who are not familiar with you, you are a Grammy-winning American jazz vocalist, pianist, songwriter, and arranger. You grew up right here in New England, in Connecticut. You started singing when you were pretty young, and then you attended Litchfield Jazz Camp. You studied classical voice at NYU. You performed professionally as an opera singer, moved to New York City. Ever since then, it's just been absolutely one thing after another. You have played with just about everybody that there is to play with. One of the things that really struck me when I was reading about you was the fact that you are the only person, male or female, to have ever won a Best Jazz Vocal Album for a recording which was completely written and arranged by the artist who won the award. That would be you. I just think that is an amazing accomplishment, but it certainly shouldn't be something that's rare. But, you know, do you find that people minimize that part of your work? Do you know, do you understand what I'm asking? Like, sometimes I feel like that they make people, well, as an example, so there's a Blossom Dearie album recorded at Ronnie Scott's a long time ago, of course, back in the 50s or 60s. But the announcer came on and announced the group and then said it was Blossom Dearie singing, which she was. But she was also the pianist. I mean, there's only three of them up there. And I just always thought that was sort of weird. Like, well, I mean, she's doing all that other work. Don't you want to mention that? And so that's, I guess, what I'm asking you.
I love that. Thank you for asking that and also for pointing out that. Because that's definitely an obstacle that I've come across quite a bit, especially because when I won the Grammy, in, you know, it was 2024 February, as an independent artist, you know, I'm unsigned. I had no big machine behind me. And the Recording Academy, you know, it's a peer-based voted award. And so when I won, it was pretty unprecedented. And when I also won and was the only person to have ever written and arranged the album themselves, I kind of assumed that I would get maybe a lot of flowers for that, for being a woman, for being an independent artist, for being a composer, arranger, and a producer of my own music. But strangely enough, I got zero press from jazz.
This is what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I really... And I kind of sat in the silence about that for a year, just being like, well, maybe it'll come. And it didn't come because, you know, gatekeepers are a thing in every industry. And when you break through the ceiling, especially as a woman, oftentimes, you know, you tend to reach a different type of ceiling. And so my entire goal in the next year is I'm starting a new community called Modern Songbook, which is living jazz singer-songwriters and finding a lane for all of us who don't write necessarily like pop music, but also don't only sound like Great American Songbook. So yeah, thank you for asking that question. And I used to be afraid to talk about it. But yeah, I was not met with what I thought I would be met with after I won, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm absolutely not surprised to hear that. And I think that people like you, you know, there are other women stepping out and saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm also doing this work. It's tricky navigating because, of course, you know, you're trying to chart your course in your career. And as you just pointed out, there are gatekeepers. It is the music business. And in every business, the primary thing, I mean, even more important perhaps than what the actual product is how do I feel about the person trying to sell me this product? So when the phone rings, you know, are you glad that that's so-and-so calling? Or you go, tell them I'm not here. And so when you think about, well, here's this, you know, I want to present the totality of everything that I do, but I also want to make sure that when that phone rings, the person goes, oh, great, it's Nicole. I want to talk to her. And so you really have to be careful. And I would say, you know, I say this as a person who earlier in my career certainly did not do this, and I paid a heavy price for it, which I'm okay with. But I have to say now, later on, I really have learned, you know, you really do have to decide what's important to you and then make sure that you're proceeding on a path which is going to take you there. And so this exact thing, how do we change it? And that's what you're talking about. The work that you're doing moving forward is, let's just move this a little more into the spotlight, into the light, so that people can get more used to it and it won't be such a big thing. Because you can bet your bottom dollar that had you been a man and had that same experience, it would have been all over everything. Look at this guy. He's walking and chewing gum at the same time. And so...
You're going to make me burst into tears because you're saying everything that I think all the time, and I'm too afraid to say out loud sometimes.
Well, you're not the first person that I've driven to tears, so, you know, okay.
Yeah, I was so surprised after I won. You know, it was produced by Christian McBride and also my friend Kabir Segal, and so many people after I won just said, well, the only reason she won is because she worked with Christian and Kabir, and I was like, wow. That completely undermines everything else that I did, like writing all of it, arranging it, co-producing it with them, putting it out myself, finding a publicist, finding the funding, you know, grassroots fundraising, putting together a day of activism, giving back to the environment through SaveTheSound.org. I did all these things, but at the end of the day, what was it boiled down to? It was boiled down to, oh, well, it's a fluke. She won with the man. But then I won a Grammy this year again with my husband's big band. So I was like, it's kind of a force, not a fluke.
There you go.
I'm here to stay.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. As a matter of fact, you're going to come right here to Worcester. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Nicole Zoraitis. She is a wonderful, wonderful musician, composer, arranger, pianist. She's also the artist who will be featured at this year's Jazz Plus Live concert. That's on Friday, August 22nd. There are still tickets available for this. And listen, if you want to find out more about Nicole's music, about all the things that she does, please go to her website. That's Nicole Z Music. NicoleZMusic.com, and that's also her handle on social media, Nicole Z Music. I'm so thrilled to speak with you, and especially during our Summer in the City Fun Drive. Here at Morning Vibe Time, Intergalactic Headquarters, we often veer off the jazz highway, and we play all kinds of music, especially cheesy music, because we like the cheese. But one of the things we do is we have these conversations about jazz, about music. What makes jazz? What is jazz? How do you know it's jazz? Is it good? When I was reading through your biography, I noticed how many different styles of music you had pursued on your pathway to jazz. I mean, it looks like you sort of started there and then went out on a field trip and came back home again. But what's your take on that? What brought you back to jazz? What is jazz? Don't worry.
Well, jazz,
spelling doesn't count, and you won't be graded.
Well, jazz to me is the amalgamation that is rooted in Black American music and beyond. So, like, The first thing I learned when I learned about jazz was from Eli Yeaman, this wonderful pianist. He was like, Nicole, do you know any spirituals? Do you know any blues? And I said, no, not really, you know. And he's like, well, then you can't sing jazz. And so I, from a young age, was like, oh, okay, respect where this music came from. And then it just opened so many doors, because I hear in all types of music, from rock and roll to pop to soul, that it's all influenced by the blues. And that's why we call it American music. And it's incredible. So jazz to me is, you know, it has the freedom of improvisation, but also it has the umbrella now of being broad and encompassing of all different types and styles. It's also kind of the Achilles heel of the genre, because sometimes people think jazz and think, oh, like a bunch of men with their backs to the audience playing solos for 45 minutes and the audience is bored and falling asleep, or they think it's swing-a-ling with big band and people wearing hats and, you know, suits and sounding like Sinatra. Like, it could be all sorts of things, but for me, there's a lot of freedom within it, because it's still rooted in the blues, and it's still rooted in the tradition of jazz and the Great American Songbook. But like the type of music I write, Modern Songbook, has the branches of pop, soul, and R&B within it.
That's beautiful. We were talking about this a little earlier before you actually went on the air, and you said, well, I don't know how to answer that. Apparently you do.
I fooled him again.
Apparently you're a big fat liar. I mean, come on.
I don't know. Oh, God.
So I love that, because, you know, as a white person, it's difficult to claim this music without eliminating the people that invented it. And you just put it so beautifully, because to pay homage, to make sure that you include the black experience, black people, they created this music, and it's really important that they be given that credit. That's what you just did. And I think that that's the way for all of us as Americans, which you just pointed out, that we can claim this music, because it really does belong to all of us. And it's so important to keep it alive. And there's room for everybody. That's, again, part of what you were just pointing out. It's an umbrella under which we are all sheltering. And I love the idea of what you said about the modern American songbook. So it's the great American songbook of the future. But we have to keep creating. There's so many wonderful musicians creating music now. And I think that that's one of the things that the interwebs have been great for, is that a lot more people, such as yourself, you were just talking about, you were unsigned, you were unrepresented, and yet because of the fact that the internet exists, you and so many others are able to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to go do this. And you don't need those kind of gatekeepers that used to be in place. They still exist. There are still record companies. There are still distributors, marketers, all that stuff. But it's also possible to do it outside of those circles and get public support. That's what we're talking about here, and that's what we're talking about during our fund drive, our Summer in the City fund drive, is how the support of the public is what makes everything that we do possible. And so I wonder if you could talk just a few minutes. I know you have to go, but I'm enjoying this conversation so much. I don't want to let you get off the phone. But can you talk a little bit about public radio and why that's important?
Wow. First of all, I have chills from what you just said. And thank you. Just beautifully, beautifully said, Michelle. And this conversation right now is exactly why public radio is essential to the U.S., to democracy. It preserves, like, cultural identity. It supports free access to arts and education. It gives people a chance to listen to arts and music and storytelling without having to actually purchase a ticket. So it broadens the audience of people who maybe would not normally have a chance to go listen to an indie. And then more importantly, I'm an independent artist, and here I am talking to you on this gigantic platform. Like, the fact that I'm talking to you on a 90.5 as opposed to like AM 89.79, I don't know. It's just like a beautiful gift to an independent artist. So I think it's just like fuels the creative economy for the U.S. and also for artists and for people like you who give us a voice.
That's great. I think that's such a great point. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Nicole Zoraitis. Nicole is a wonderful musician, composer, arranger. She's also the artist who will be performing at this year's Jazz Plus Live concert. That's Friday, August 22nd, right out in back of the Hanover Theater. You know the deal. Tickets are still available. We hope that you will come and see Nicole. I have enjoyed this conversation so much, Nicole. Thank you so much for calling in and for saying all of the things that you've said, because I think it's really true that the idea that the creative economy, creativity, art, culture, all of it, it is so much more important than people realize. It's so ubiquitous as to be completely invisible. And part of what we're doing right here during these fund drives, and as you just pointed out, is we're making the invisible visible. Hey, this thing over here, it's really important. Pay attention. That's what our supporters are doing. That's what you're doing. And you, Nicole, are a giant gift to us. And I am so looking forward to your concert and to meeting you. And thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you for starting my morning in a beautiful way. And I can't wait to come on August 22nd. Truly, it'll be my first time in Worcester, and it's been a delight talking to you.
Thanks. Wonderful. So we're going to hear one of your songs right now called Burn. That seems like a good song for today.
Yeah, really.
Okay. Thanks, Nicole. Bye.
Thanks so much, Nicole. Bye-bye.